You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Stick Together. I'm your host, James Brennan. Thanks for joining us for this episode. This show was produced on the lands of the Kulin Nation, and we pay our respect to their elders, both past and present. And we recognise the ongoing impact of colonisation across the lands and water. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land. You're listening to Stick Together, the only national radio show that focuses on union news, workplace issues, and social justice. And you're listening to this across the community radio network, or you might be listening to the podcast. Thank you to the Community Broadcasting Foundation for their support of this program, as we bring you stories of industrial news and actions across the globe. On this week's show, we're going to hear from New South Wales Public Service Association Industrial Manager Nathan Bradshaw, about the proposed cuts to public sector roles in the transport sector in New South Wales. But before we hear from Nathan, let's hear some union news. In the ETU, Queensland, Getinge, electricians who perform maintenance work for the company have been on strike for over 5 weeks, with Getinge's only offer being a 3% wage increase. Workers are already at least 10% behind in their Victorian counterparts, and workers are also not being paid the correct site allowance. They have taken industrial action across hospitals in Queensland, with solidarity from other workers at those sites. The AMW Victoria, Coney, and Coney Elevator workers commenced industrial action a couple of weeks ago, with implementation of an overtime ban. Workers also took a half-day stoppage. The Haxu Victoria campaign continues, the public sector mental health workers. We've been covering this for most of the year, and Haxu State Secretary Paul Healy has reported that 82% of Haxu members have voted in favour of continuing industrial action, rather than accepting a new deal from the state government. Haxu noted that the second offer comes nowhere close to our pay claims for allied health workers, and accused the government of driving a wedge between different workers, warning a bad deal for one workforce is a bad deal. And to round up union news, RAFU, the Retail Fast Food Workers Union, are campaigning for a no vote in their industrial campaign with Dan Murphy's and BWS, with members across social media calling for that no. And that's it for union news. Now, as we look to the top story on today's show, we're looking at the major restructure at Transport New South Wales, one that is causing a huge ripple across the public service and the union movement. Last week, Transport for New South Wales Secretary Josh Murray revealed plans to cut approximately 950. As we're going to hear from Nathan Bradshaw, who's a New South Wales Public Service Association's industrial manager, those jobs are coming from what are vital parts of the transport sector roles in the New South Wales government. As we hear from Nathan, there is a huge class divide between some of the senior executive positions that have huge salaries and are not generally involved in the day-to-day running of essential services, to these jobs, which are, you know, workers on the ground that are responding to issues that may be present throughout the state. And these are the jobs that are being put at risk. And the unions call for potential industrial action. And if there are jobs to be cut, they're looking at restructuring and making sure those workers have a job to go to. So thanks to Nathan for joining us. And we're going to hear from him right now. Welcome to Stick Together. And Nathan, thanks so much for joining us on the show today. And I'm not sure, you know, people would have seen a little bit in the news about what's happening with Transport New South Wales and public service workers there. But if you could provide to listeners a little bit about the scale of the job cuts that are happening, you know, who's being affected and, yeah, what kind of roles are being targeted?
Sure. Well, workers right across Transport for New South Wales were quite shocked and surprised to hear the announcement on Wednesday, the 23rd of July, close to 1,000 jobs were going to be cut across Transport for New South Wales. Now, these jobs are workers, so they're what we call award employees and certain managers. They're not senior executives. So across the transport service, you've got a bit of a structure there where you've got a number of senior executives, very highly paid, from about 250,000 up to 700,000. So you have a senior executive service They're not part of this announcement. The announced cuts on Wednesday were for essentially the workers of Transport for New South Wales. So these workers are varied but critical workers and frontline workers. So these are your people that are working in the Transport Management Centre. The Transport Management Centre obviously is monitoring traffic and flow and responding to incidents. These are people that drive the trucks out and respond to those incidents to clear the roads. And it really means the difference between, a 1 hour delay in the peak to, a 6, 7 hour flow on delay. So these jobs are everywhere. They're varied and wide. And at the moment, there's no clear plan or proposal about exactly where they're coming, other than all staff will be affected.
And I can hear the distinction that you're kind of making there around, these kind of essential workers that are working, and some of the kind of upper management that are not being targeted by these cuts. And I think the transport minister was talking about needing to save around $600 million to redirect funds for the government to public transport services, schools, hospitals, roads. Have you seen anything that indicates that these are, there's a direct correlation between, these cuts here and where that is actually going to be spent on, what are essential services?
Well, we're very supportive of efficiency in the public sector, and I'd say we somewhat agree that there is a bloated transport service, but the bloating comes from those senior executives. For example, there's over 1,000 senior executives in the transport service. They have a staff of, approximately 16,000. So you've got 1,000 senior executives in transport, 16,000 staff. In the health service, in the health department, they have about 130,000 staff and they've got about 350 senior executives. So if the government wants to save $600 million, okay, we can sort of accept that and work with that and understand the rationale to efficiencies and savings. But they need to be cutting from the 1,000 senior executives in transport, because the facts are that there is the one in four senior executives across the entire public sector work in transport. So if you want to save some money, you're going to save the money from the people that have ultimate responsibility for the transport network in New South Wales. So these people are earning, very good wages, like I said, from 250,000 to 700,000. So if you want to save some money, that's where the cuts need to be happening. Now, the reason, the question might be, well, why aren't the cuts happening in the senior executive service? And it's because, quite frankly, the government at the moment lacks the fortitude to have those difficult conversations. But it's also because senior executives get a very nice golden handshake. So if they do sack these senior executives, they can get a payout, an automatic payout of about 38 weeks, which can be about $400,000 in terms of that ending that contract. But the government can fix that. It can fix that tomorrow, because because they're in government and they need to introduce legislation essentially that removes that automatic golden handshake. Because essentially these people can be hired, and if they're then their job becomes redundant 1 week later, they'll be entitled to that 38 weeks payout. Now, the workers across the state, so our members, the workers have to work for 13 years before they get an equivalent amount of a redundancy, essentially. But a transport senior service manager, a transport senior service executive, only needs to work for 13 days to get that. So essentially, in terms of creating those savings, they could do that simply by cutting the senior executive service. Now, they've started that in transport. We recognise a transport secretary came out the other day and said, "Hey, look, we've cut 200 senior executives already." And we say that's a good start. You've cut 200. But it's also taken you 2 years to cut those 200 senior executive staffs. And now you've put out an announcement to cut 1,000 workers over the next few months before Christmas. So there really needs to be a look at the priorities of this government when it comes to saving money. Sure, they want to save money, but they need to look at those senior executives first.
And I guess the public service, in New South Wales, but across the country, has historically had a pretty high union membership, and at times a quite active one, and that kind of speaks to the good conditions and some of the the benefits of working in these kind of roles. What has been the response from members, and what are the union looking to do in response to the cuts?
Well, members are outraged, quite frankly. They see this as a shock because whilst there has been discussion of savings, I don't think anyone envisaged that there would be 1,000 job cuts for workers. So that's 1 in 15. 1 in 15 workers out there in any workplace in transport is going to lose their job. Members are really coming to us and they're saying, we want to fight these cuts. And we have not taken industrial action off the table. We don't want to see, the public being affected, in any dispute. But these are people's jobs. These are people's livelihoods. And there's just been an announcement that 1 in 15 of them are going to go. And so, understandably, they're upset to say the least. So we're currently meeting with our members, and we'll explore. Where that might go, but industrial action is not off the table at this point in time.
I guess, from some of your answers previously, what we're sort of talking about there is a real class division in terms of, what is, divisions within this workforce itself. And I just listening to you speak then as well, I guess it shows, where the law kind of sits within some of these as well, where, huge job cuts like this are able to be taken from, the boss's class. And one of the big, things that we have as workers is to be able to go on strike or to take industrial action. And, not having the right to strike in Australia, except for, during enterprise bargaining periods, and that unprotected action makes it really difficult. This is equivalent to, the kind of actions that, the bosses are able to take by taking away our rights and our jobs. And we don't necessarily have the same kind of freedoms to strike back at that in the way that we might want to.
I absolutely agree. I mean, that's the way the system was set up very much in terms of only having that window when bargaining to take industrial action. However, the really interesting key point here in New South Wales is that these workers that work for Transport for New South Wales, they're not under the federal industrial relations system. So they don't bargain with an enterprise agreement, which, like I know, is the system throughout Victoria and other parts of Australia. But here in New South Wales, we have two systems that work hand in hand. So that's what brings us to a really interesting point that's happening at the moment is that workers in Sydney trains, so these are the train, for example, train drivers and guards, so that they're not part of these cuts. They work under the federal industrial relation, and they've just completed their bargaining. Now, our members in Transport for New South Wales work under the state public sector industrial relations system. And at the end of last year, they accepted the government's wage offer at the time. So they accepted the government's wage offer at the end of last year and got on with the job. Now, people in the Sydney trades, and I fully respect and support their right to do so. But they went a different route and it took them a lot longer. So they're only resolving their enterprise agreement right now. But these cuts are coming from the state public sector workers from Transport for New South Wales. So it's a very fair question that's coming from our members is how come we're getting the cuts here? How come the cuts are coming here when we've shown a willingness to work with the government in terms of getting on with the job of delivering services?
And I guess, be calling out for some of those workers in those other unions. I think is that the RTBU and others to, have solidarity with the workers that they are, no doubt working alongside as well, even if it's not part of the same agreement, that, solidarity actions and things that they can take as part of this campaign.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the RTBU have come out and strongly condemned these cuts in transport for New South Wales. And that is the wonderful thing about unionism, is that solidarity. Even when there's multiple unions working in a sector that might be looking after different classifications of staff or have different sort of avenues that they're progressing to achieve results for their members. We do all work in solidarity, and we are all, united in the fact that you don't save a budget and deliver great services by cutting jobs, by cutting workers. I mean, these workers are not just, they're not. Like, I hear a lot of commentary that comes out from the government over the last week, which has been pretty disappointing, that these jobs are somehow backroom jobs or corporate jobs. I mean, and that just cannot be further from the truth. I mean, these jobs, these award employees include tradies. They include electricians. They include people that work on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. They include engineers. I mean, an engineer is an essential worker. The projects that Transport roll out are huge projects. And of course, they need the engineers and they need all the professionals that are working on that. But what happens if those jobs cuts? There's two outcomes if those jobs are cuts, those job are cut. There is a huge potential for disaster in terms of planning of those projects and project delivery. But essentially, what we then see is they'll cut these jobs and then they'll outsource the jobs because the work still needs to be done to the private sector. And that's when you get your consultants come in. So instead of paying, let's say, an engineer, let's say, just for argument's sake, that an engineer earns about $150,000 a year, instead of that $150,000 cut cost to the public, it increases two, threefold. So you're not getting any inefficiencies. It's all a bit of smoke and mirrors to say that we've cut jobs, we've reduced the footprint, but then we go out and spend money on consultants anyway. And so there is actually no saving. So that's why it's been very disappointing. The other disappointing thing about the announcement is a little bit of the commentary from the Premier, Chris Minns, and the Transport Minister, John Graham. Before the last election, Chris Minns promised to cut 15% of senior executives. Now that's good. And we support that call. That's in line with what we're saying, where these job cuts can come through. But he didn't say, I'm going to cut 15% of the senior executive service and I'm going to cut 6% of workers. He didn't say that one in 15 workers in Transport for New South Wales, I'm going to cut them as well. So it's a little bit disappointing when promises are made and essentially, these other effects come into place. Now, having said that, I am confident that we can change the government's minds about where to get these savings from. The government is essentially listening, but at the moment, it hasn't translated into an outcome for workers, which is to keep their jobs.
I mean, I guess thinking back to the last federal election, and Peter Dutton went to that election with a promise of cutting a lot of public service jobs, and particularly in Canberra. But I'm sure if he was elected, he would have been looking to do that across the board. I think thankfully for many listeners that he wasn't elected. But with the New South Wales, Labor government and obviously federal Labor government as well, is it even more disheartening to have this come from, a party that should have closer ties with the working class and with unions?
It is disheartening. It is disheartening. And I will say, though, there has been some good reforms put in place by this New South Wales state government. They have made changes in terms to the WHS Act, to the Industrial Relations Act, and they have looked at a number of changes and put them through, which are of benefit to the workers of New South Wales. However, it's when we get to the crunch point, jobs are on the line. Which will really define whether, the Labor Party is standing by their roots of workers and jobs and their traditional values, or whether it's, a disappointing lip service. I think it's really interesting in the last federal election, Peter Dutton's call to cut public servants and Peter Dutton's call to end working from home completely. They weren't accepted by the public, and that's why he walked them back straight away. And I think that's really encouraging because I think the narrative has changed somewhat over the last few election cycles, where people, the general public out there now understand that cutting jobs is not the answer. It's not the answer to fixing the economy. It's more jobs. We need more jobs in the public sector. And so what I found really interesting was that that message didn't work and they dropped it straight away. So that's encouraging. But we're still in this place now. We're in the state. There's a plan to cut 1,000 jobs. And so when those plans come through, I completely agree with you. It can be a bit disheartening to see that coming from Labor governments.
I guess we'll have to wrap up soon, but I just, I guess to go back to, the outcome for the workers. I understand that redeployment is being offered for, I'm not sure if all the roles, but for a number of them. And I guess in the way that the government can sell that, it is sounds like you're just shuffling things around and everything will be smooth for everyone. But I mean, I think as most people would understand, even in their own role, that people don't necessarily want to be doing a different role. And, even with, casualization and short-term job security contracts that people might be on, when that contract is coming to an end or things like that, it creates a lot of uncertainty for people that can have a flow-on effect to lots of aspects of their life. It's not as much about just moving from one desk to another. Can you talk a little bit about what that redeployment is? Being what that it looks like that's being offered and how that might affect some of the members.
Yeah, I mean, we're not only wanting, obviously we want to look at cutting the senior executive service, but if there are positions that are made that are cut throughout this proposal, we do support a redeployment program. So this is one of the areas that the government did listen to unions in terms of a workforce mobility program, which they've put in since they've been elected, this state government. And is a positive. So we're calling on them to guarantee that that policy is actually put into effect, because we don't want job cuts. We don't want people to lose their jobs. We want them to have the opportunity to keep a job in the public sector. The New South Wales government is the largest employer in the state, so the very largest employer in the state, and they advertise around 25,000 jobs each and every year. So that's their own figures. They advertise 25,000 jobs, and that's going to be a mixture of permanent and temporary positions. But if they're advertising those positions every year, they need to make sure that when they do say that these positions are cut, that those individuals are guaranteed a job. So they're guaranteed a place in a similar department. The government introduced in New South Wales, what's called a capability framework. So there is the ability to look at roles and whether people have the same capabilities. And essentially, we don't want skills and knowledge lost to the public sector. Because, as you know, like every time that there's a loss of a job and getting a new person in, there is a loss of that institutional knowledge. So it really comes to keeping those skills in the public sector. So we are calling on the government to ensure that if we get to a point and we don't accept that there needs to be 950 positions cut, but if we get to a point where there are positions cut, that nobody that wants a job loses a job. And at the end of the day, that should be a Labor Party and it should be a Labor government value and ideal.
Thanks a lot, Nathan. That seems like a really great point to finish things on with a call to arms to the government. And yeah, really appreciate coming on to talk about what's happening for the workers there and wish you all the best for the campaign and hope that there are no jobs lost. But if there are some restructures or things like that, if the union has got the members' interests at heart there and is doing the best to kind of find solutions for them.
Thanks for having me on, James, and thanks for taking an interest in this really important issue.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Stick Together. This episode was brought to you by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. We thank them for their support of this program. Thanks so much to Nathan for joining me on today's show and speaking about some of the issues that are facing transport workers in New South Wales. If you'd like to hear this or any other episodes of Stick Together, you can visit the 3CR website or listen back on your favourite podcast app. To get in touch with the producers, go to sticktogether3cr@gmail.com. Remember, wherever you are, whatever you do, there's a union for you. Until next time, stick together. I've been your host, James, and to finish the show, we're going to hear a track, City Sounds by Gamish.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.